We welcome everyone on this January 2nd, 2022, to the Bible study, Sunday morning sermon at the Wayne County Bible Center. Again, we are shut down as far as our services go. We have numerous folks that are pretty much at this point recovering from COVID, and we praise God for that. So it is our hope that we will resume services on Sunday, January 9th. Our church has been professionally sanitized and disinfected last week. We want to thank the folks that got that taken care of. And this Wednesday, our regular cleaning, Ms. Shelby will be in to clean everything, wipe everything down. So we'll not have a time of gathering on Wednesday, January 5th. Want everyone to continue to remember everybody in prayer. I'm going to briefly update some folks. We praise God. Brother Tony Butler is back home. As he battled COVID, he was our only member that actually was hospitalized, and we praise God for his healing. Pray for him and Sandra. Also, Jennifer Williams is going to have her surgery on the 6th this week. That's Thursday. We want to pray for her. And then Mike, he has a consultation concerning a possible or treatment on the 7th. So we want to remember them in our prayers. And Coach Sis texted me yesterday, wants us to add his sister-in-law, one of our physicians here in town, Paula Ann Cole. Everyone knows Miss Paula Ann and Franklin. And we want to add them. She fell, and she may be facing some pretty serious shoulder surgery. So today we're going to start out in Deuteronomy 11. Verse 11 and 12 is going to be the focus verse to get us going. And the title, Tim, is From the Beginning to the End. From the Beginning to the End. Part 1, and we will go from there today. So, Deuteronomy 11, and also I want to add, Dave Bell, his mom, she's 98 years old in Houston. She fell and broke her arm, so please pray for her, her recovery, for God to open some doors for some sitters to be able to stay or room and board with her. So if we can get folks praying, I know we have folks in Texas, all over the United States that listen to us and in other places. So we praise God that God brought Dave and Connie and Kathy from Houston to actually live here in Wayne County and be a part of our ministry. So please remember Dave's mom in your prayers. All right, from the beginning to the end, Deuteronomy 11, verse 11. But the land... God speaking to the children of Israel, but the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven. It is a land which the Lord your God cares for. And the eyes of the Lord your God are always on the land from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And I want to praise God as we begin 2022. The eyes of the Lord our God are upon us. And we're going to look at the symbolism of the promised land to the nation of Israel and what it represents to the child of God in the New Testament church. But the eyes of the Lord are on this year for your life. From the beginning of the year unto the end. And I want to praise God. You're going to see before we close, Joshua tells the children of Israel, 2 months after Moses makes these statements, he goes, the way we're going, you don't know. And the way we're going, we don't know. But God knows the way from January to December in 2022. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, and I pray, Lord Jesus, for a cleansing of the filth I confess to you throughout the week. And I pray, Father, to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your Spirit, filled with your Spirit, I must decrease so that you increase. And I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray to wash the feet of the people listening to this message as a servant. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our perfect teacher. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. And Father, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will take over. You will guide us. And Father, for 2022, let us recommit our lives unto you so that we can receive all that you have for us, Jesus. Father, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a full and abundant life. And Father, it is our goal to put ourselves in a position where you can bless us. Because you must be true to yourself. You cannot bless me, Lord, in my disobedience when I'm outside of your will. So, Father, may I seek you. May I walk with you. May I grow in my loving, intimate, personal relationship with you. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy 11, in verse 8, Moses is reiterating the law to the children of Israel. And he's speaking to them about the promised land, and most commentators believe that the entire book, the entire discourse of the book of Deuteronomy took place 2 months before they crossed Jordan. And so Moses, this is his last words to the children of Israel after 40 years in the wilderness. And he says this in Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. He says, therefore shall you keep all the commandments, speaking for God, which I, God, command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. Now, I want you to understand the children of Israel living and dwelling in the promised land is representative of a New Testament Christian living and dwelling in the center of God's will. So I want you to understand that. And when he says here, you've got to go in and possess it, he's talking about our part. For the child of God to live in God's will, we must make a commitment to seriously seek and live in and live out God's will, God's plan, and God's rule for our lives. Look at what he says. He says, therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you. There's got to be a conscious effort on the child of God to strive to be obedient unto God. And you're going to see in a few moments, obedience puts us in a position where God can bless us. Disobedience puts us in a position where God can't bless us. Now, I'm not saying he's merciful. He's not merciful. I'm not saying he blesses us in spite of things. I'm not saying that. But for you to experience the fullness and the richness and all that God has for you, you and I need to be making a conscious effort to grow and deepen and expand all the aspects of our personal relationship with Jesus. All the aspects of our personal relationship with Jesus. Now, look at what he goes on to say. Verse 11, the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and it drinks water of the rain of heaven. When they were in Egypt in the preceding verse, look at what it says. It's not like the land of Egypt where you came out, where you had to sow the seed, where you had to dig ditches, where you had to work so hard to irrigate and water and all that. He's saying, I'm leading you a place that it's a whole lot easier to live in the promised land than it is to live in Egypt. And what he means by that, when people are outside of the will of God, they're all caught up in their own self-effort. God's not able to help them fight their battles, water the land, bless them in the way they need to be. And a Christian outside of the will of God is wearing himself out every day, wearing himself out every week. And we're not even talking about lost people. We'll get to that bunch in a little bit. But notice what he says here. A land which the Lord your God cares for, The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Verse 13. Now, that's God's part. He's going to keep an eye on the land. He's going to keep an eye on your life. He desires to bless your life. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So what is the first aspect? What am I to do in my relationship with Jesus Christ? I am to grow more and more and more in my love relationship with the Lord. Now, Apollos, how am I going to know to love God more and more and more? Well, all I got to do to learn how to love God more and more and more is to meditate upon it. And to think about Him. And to think about all the wonderful things He's done for me in my life. The more I meditate upon how good God has been to me, the more I'm going to love Him. The more I stop and think about, I had a prayer the other day sitting out in the woods, and I bet I was out there an hour, and I tried to go back as far as I could go in the memory of my lifetime, and I started thanking God for people that God had sent into my life that were a blessing to me. I was thanking God for relatives. I was thanking God for guys I grew up with. I was thanking God for teachers, for coaches, for preachers, for friends, for doctors, for people I've had relationships with. I mean, first cousins, second cousins, people I hunted with, people I fished with, men that took time with me, my aunts, uncles. I just started, and as I started thinking about that, it just kept expanding and expanding and expanding, and it became dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people that God has always had in my life. I think about the group of people God used to get me to Wayne County, Tennessee. Some of them aren't with us anymore. I mean, it's just incredible. And as you go back and see the showers of blessings and benefits that God has sent into your life, you know, you love people that are good to you. You love people that do things for you. I mean, that's even fallen human nature. How much more can I grow in my relationship and appreciation and gratitude and love for God? And that's one of your resolutions for 2022. You want this thing to deepen. You want it to expand. You want to enjoy more and more of the realization of how much God loves you, how much He's done for you, so that you can in turn grow in your love for Him. Now, and it's the same way in a married life. You know, Patty's in here today, and I praise God she's recovered from COVID. It's been 4 decades we've been together. And I love and appreciate and enjoy Patty more today than I did at 16. Because you grow in your maturity and understanding of life. And you find out what's important and what is not. And it's the same way in our spiritual relationship. And we're called the bride of Christ. He's our covering. He's our protector. And so we are to grow in the depth. You know, the first day He saves us, we're praising His name for dying on that cross for us. But then we even grow in a greater love and appreciation. So you got all these religions, Tim, that teach obedience. And here in the Old Testament, the first thing the Lord says is, love me, serve me, worship me with all your heart and with all your soul. If that's not the foundation, you have no relationship with Christ. And so many just teach, oh, you got to obey the commandments. My friend, I obey the commandments because I want to please the one that loves me. I don't want to disappoint Him. Now, and look what He says. I will give you the rain of your land. You grow in your love with me, and I'll give you the rain, the first rain, the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn and your wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields. I will feed your cattle. and you can be full and eat. And God is going to do all these things if we walk in love and if we commit to walk in obedience unto God. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn away from me and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath is kindled against us and he can't bless us. So even in the promised land, there's going to be temptation. Even in the promised land, there's Canaanites. Even in the promised land, there's idol worshipers. You can't get drawn into this stuff. You can't get drawn into the way of the world. You want to stay in lockstep with the Lord. Now, let me show you what God required in more detail. Go to Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, it says this, "And now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of you but to worship and reverence, fear and respect the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to seek to live an obedient life, and to love him, to grow in that personal love relationship." And I want to say again, as you begin 2022, I hope everyone listening to my voice has a devotional. You can't love somebody you don't spend time with. You can't love somebody that doesn't spend time with you. And it's just the simplicity of getting alone with God. That 30 minutes every morning, that 30 minutes every night. Whatever it is where you get alone with the Lord, you grow in love to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. I've got to do it. The one that's been faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to him. You know, when Psalm 139 says that I formed you in the womb before your arms and legs were formed, people say, "Oh, Brother Leo, you know, you can't really be against the murder of babies in the womb." Yes, I am. Because God's word said every life's sacred. You know, praise God, in the fall, I'm going to marry, good Lord willing, if I'm still here, Apollos and Bree, and do their ceremony. Jesus said, "As it was in the beginning, so it is now. A man leaves his mother and father, they cleave unto his wife." Now, I want you to understand why God gave us all these commandments. Look at what he says. Verse 13. "I want you to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your own good." For your own good. You know why God tells us not to murder people? Because it's not good when people get murdered. So to protect the culture, he gave us these commandments for the good of humanity. And now humanity is telling God, "Look, we don't want to follow your commands. We want to do what we know is good for ourselves." My friend, we don't know what's good for ourselves. How do you know that, Brother Leo? Because in the grand scheme of things, we're like a 2-year-old toddler that thinks it's all right to touch a hot stove. You know how that child learns not to touch the hot stove? Their earthly parents slap their hand or grab their hand or give them a command, "Don't touch the hot stove," for their own protection. God has given us parameters. God has given us commandments. God has given us abundance and God has given us limitations for the good of society, for the good of culture, for the good of family, for the good of humanity, and we are to bow down to the creator of the universe who knows what is good. So he's given us these things for our own good so that we could be fulfilled in living the life that he has planned out for us. And I'm going to tell you, there are only three groups of people in the world. There are the Christians that are living in the will of God, enjoying everything God has for them. Then there are Christians living outside the will of God. and they're not experiencing or enjoying all the blessings God has for them. And then there's lost people that are in total disobedience to the will of God for their life, and they're losing out on everything God has for them. And you know, people say all the time, well, this is right for me. My friend, there's only one right and there's only one wrong. And if God's word says it's right, it's right. If God's word says it's wrong, it's wrong. And there are a lot of things that might feel good. There are a lot of things that might be the easy way. There are a lot of things that humanity can choose. And I read a phenomenal devotion yesterday. You know why God gives us choice? And I've preached this for years. Why didn't He just make us robots where everybody obeyed? Because God is love. Love is the result of a choice. You've got to have free will to know how to love. But what does man do? Fallen human nature and the devil takes free choice. And he gets man so far away from the personal plan of God for their lives, men and women, that they end up missing out. And it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad for a child of God to stand before the judgment seat, not as to whether or not they've got salvation, they've got that, but to see what they could have had in life, what God wanted them to have in life. And then it's going to be terrible to see those that have rejected God and rejected His love, and yet He had a beautiful plan for their life. And if you want to read again Psalm 139 as you begin 2022. Now, look at what He says, for your own good. Verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that is therein. And He goes on to say how they're the chosen people of God. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, a wonderful God, a terrifying God, an awe-inspiring God. And He's not going to judge you unjustly. He is going to judge you, show you mercy, and bless you. Verse 20, you shall fear and worship the Lord your God. You shall serve Him, and you shall cleave unto Him. So it's a good prayer. Draw me closer and closer and closer unto you, Lord Jesus, in 2020. Now, let me show you a comparative New Testament passage to all the law, and it's kind of summed up in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking. And it's a familiar verse. Many folks know it. I use it all the time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need in life will be brought in to your life. Now, if you go back to verse 24, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and pride. You can't serve God and career. You can't serve God and family. You got to serve God. Therefore, I say unto you, don't take worrisome or anxious thoughts for your life. Don't get consumed with getting material things like what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what your body, your clothes, your houses, your cars, your money. Life is much more than all this stuff. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God, that means if you'll seek first the authority of God in your life and try under the direction and empowering of the Holy Spirit to live righteously, everything God has for you, He will bring into your life. Now that's living in the promised land. I want to live with the rule of God in my life, the plan of God in my life, the will of God in my life. God, am I supposed to change jobs this year? I'm going to get alone with you, Lord, and I'm going to pray about it. God, am I supposed to move to Tennessee this year? Am I supposed to move to Florida this year? I'm going to get alone with God and find out His plan. God, are we supposed to get married this year? We're going to make it a matter of prayer, and we got together and came to that decision. It's this time in our life. It is all about the rule of God, the plan of God, the authority of God in your life. And then everything else will be brought in your life. And that's what he was talking about, living obediently in the promised land. Go in and possess. Now, go back with me to Deuteronomy 11, and I want to stress that point. And in Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, he says this, "Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, and that you may go in and possess the land where you go to possess it." And then verse 14, "And I will give you the rain of your land in due season." I will give you, verse 17, he talks about not being disobedient so you can enjoy the land which the Lord your God gives you. So, Brother Leo, what's the point here? My purpose and my goal for 2022, and yours also as a child of God, we want to go in and possess. We want to experience all the things God wants us to have in this coming year. We want to experience all the blessings, all the benefits. We want to honor God in every door He wants to open for us. We want to be a blessing to the people God wants us to be a blessing to. We want to minister to people God wants us to minister to. Well, wait a minute, Brother Leo. Why should I worry about that? Well, my friend, if you're a child of God, somebody's ministered to you. If you're saved today, God used somebody to pray for you, share God's love with you, something. So I want to do for people what people have done for me under the direction of God. But you want to possess all the things that God has for you. Notice what he says, that you will possess the land. God's desire in all this is he wants to give you blessings. He wants you to live a blessed life. I mean, it's almost four decades, and I've talked to so many Christians say, "You know, Brother Leo, I'm miserable. You know, Brother Leo, I'm despondent. You know, Brother Leo, I'm depressed. You know, Brother Leo, my life's a mess." And my question is, well, have you ever taken a week or a month or a season of your life and got down on your knees, repented of some stuff that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, and ask God to take over and lead you and guide you into His will, and say like Moses said, "God, if you're not there, I don't want to go." You know, that's what the Lord told Moses. Moses said, I'm not going by myself. And the Lord said, "You don't have to." At the burning bush, He said, "I'll be with you." And so Moses said, "Well, that's good, because if you're not there, I don't want to go." And sometimes we just have to confess to God, "God, I've been here and you're not there. I've not sought your will. I've asked you to bless my plan." And guess what? It doesn't work that way. I don't want my plans for God. I want God's plans for me. I want to be in His will. And so he says to go in and possess all that I have for you. That word possess means to experience what God has for you. What are you experiencing in your walk with Jesus? Let me show you another one, Ephesians 1. I love this verse. In Ephesians 1, the scripture says this. Paul understood this stuff. He goes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And he's talking about the predetermination concerning the nation of Israel here in bringing the gospel, Messiah, the oracles of God. But he changes over to the Gentiles. And when you get over here in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in sins, God hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Same phrase. So back to verse 3. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means we don't live in the gutters of this world. We don't live in the hog pen with the prodigal son. God has raised us above all these temporal things, and he's blessed us with spiritual blessings. Now, you say, Brother Leo, what is a spiritual blessing? Notice that word all spiritual blessings. Well, I'm not going to call on folks today to tell me a spiritual blessing, but God wants me to go in and possess and experience joy. That's a spiritual blessing. Only real joy comes from Jesus. God wants me to experience more peace in my life. God wants me to experience more of the love of Jesus in my life. What does Paul say? That in everything we face, we would gain more inner strength, to be strengthened in our inner man. God wants me to have a spiritual inner strength in 2022. God wants me to have a spiritual energy and a spiritual vitality. He wants me to have more joy, more peace. You know, as you think about the spiritual blessings of life, God wants me to have a knowledge of His will. What does Paul say in Ephesians? That you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. I mean, Jennifer, there may be a day you look at Mike and say, Mike, we need to do this. And Mike might say, well, why, Jennifer? And you look at him and you say, because God's really leading me that we need to do this. That's the answer. Mike, that's the answer. And it doesn't matter if your family understands. It doesn't matter if people in Michigan understand. People in Florida understand. It does not matter. I have spent 80% of my life, nobody understands why I've done what I've done. And I'm the most blessed guy I know. And I've got peace. And I know I'm where I need to be. What I fear is doing things that everybody understands. You know, like retiring and going back to Charleston. And people, oh, well, it took you long enough. What in the world? You're living out there in the middle of nowhere. You got a house in Charleston. What's your problem? I'm blessed where I am. I'm in God's will. And you either know that or you don't. And so I want to grow in joy, in peace, in the love of God, in inner strength, in the knowledge of His will. I want growth and depth in my personal relationship. And you know what another spiritual blessing is? Trust. I want to grow and deepen and expand my trust in God this year. And you say, what does that mean? Joyce, when y'all brought the cow out to the house, that's what I was talking about. You know, to grow and deepen and expand your trust in the medical area. I want to have peace of God in the decisions concerning my body. I want to have peace of God if I've got upcoming surgeries or whatever it is. But you want to trust God more in 2022. You want to grow in that trust by spending time alone with Him in this area of your life, in that area of your life, in this area, whether it's job, whether it's career, whether it's finances, whether it's relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's how you deal with people you've been dealing with all your life. You want to grow in your trust for God. And then two things, Tim, that came to me when I read this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Number one, you know what I don't thank God enough for? And this is totally a spiritual blessing. You know what I don't thank Him enough for? His heart to forgive me. Forgiveness. I want to praise God, forgiveness doesn't stop the day I get saved. You know, when we get saved, forgiveness is a big deal. We realize God has forgiven us of everything we've ever done up to that point. Well, I want to praise God for 1 John, Because if I say I don't sin after I'm saved, I'm a liar. Okay, that's 1 John 1, 7 through 9, 11, 10, all those verses. If I say I don't sin after I'm saved, I'm a liar. So I want to praise God, I can get forgiveness today. Is that not a spiritual blessing? I can get forgiveness for something I did last week. And I want to praise God. And Tim, you know this one better than anybody. You know, we spend, and the Holy Spirit just brought this to me. You and I and many folks, we have debated on the world stage with religious people the eternal security of the believer. And it hit me. I don't spend enough time thanking God for eternal security. I want to praise God I'm saved. You know, ain't that wonderful? But I want to thank you, God, for eternal security. I am already raised up into the heavenly places. The reservation in heaven has been made for me, and it cannot be canceled, not based on what I have done, but based on what God has done for me. So I want to praise God. And for 2022, get alone with God. Get Ephesians 1:3. Sit down in your quiet time and make a list of all the spiritual blessings you can think of that you have personally experienced in your relationship with Jesus and that you want to personally experience more in 2022. I'm going to tell you two things to make things real. To speak them out loud and to write them down. So speak them out loud and write them down. God gave us a voice. Well, Brother Leo, I always pray silently. Well, that's nice, but don't always pray silently. There are times you can pray silently, but God wants this voice heard. And you can speak things out loud, and you can write them down. So this is what we're doing in 2022. And I praise God for forgiveness, and I praise God for eternal security. Now go with me to Psalm chapter 1. This is a psalm that is great for the new year, but it also applies for the children of Israel in the promised land, and it also applies to the child of God as a New Testament, born again, Holy Spirit indwelt, Christian in 2022. And in Psalm 1 it says this, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now, I want you to understand something. First of all, he's walking. Then he stops and stands. And then he sits down. Do you see the progression? Walking, stopping, sitting. Now, we're not going to be able to get away from temptation. But when you see temptation, keep walking. 2022, just keep walking. Don't stop, don't stand, don't sit down. So what does this verse say? This verse says, I'm going to make a commitment unto God to live as righteously as I can and to stay away from certain situations. I have counseled people for 37, 38 years. And God gave me this years ago, and I use it all the time. One way to win great victories in certain battles is to always stay away from the battlefield. Just stay away from the battlefield. I had a guy tell me a couple of years ago, he re-spoke that verse to me, and he said, I just want you to know I'll never forget what you said to me. And he said, that saved my marriage. I said, you got to get out of the battlefield, man. You got to stay away from the battlefield. Many victories, and that's what Psalm 1 says. You're going to win victory by just staying away from certain situations. And that's a legitimate prayer. Lord, in the coming year, what situations do I need to stay away from that you don't want me involved in? And listen, the devil decorates all this stuff. And he makes it look at times like it might be a good thing to be involved in. But the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. Well, I'm trying to help somebody, Brother Leo. You need to help who God wants you to help. There are a lot of times I've seen folks try to help somebody and they pulled them off the cliff. So always seek the will of God in these things. So Psalm 1 tells us what to stay away from. And then verse 2 tells us what to do. We delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. So what am I to do, Brother Leo? You are to make a commitment to consistency with your alone time with Jesus. You can call it your meditation time, your devotional time, your Bible study time, your prayer time. All these elements, David is telling us, it is a daily discipline and commitment. You don't want to let that go. It's more important than going to church. It's more important than singing hymns. It's more important than preaching sermons. That one-on-one time alone with the Lord. And I delight in it. I mean, I can say, I love just getting alone with Jesus to see what He's going to reveal to me in His Word, about my life, whatever. So you want to have that. And then look at what it says. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever He does shall prosper. You stay away from certain situations in life. You keep a disciplined, quiet time alone with the Lord, and you're going to have a prosperous year. God's going to guide you. A tree planted by the river means that when it doesn't rain, the tree's still drawing up water. Even in the dry times in life, you're going to feel strong. Even through the hard times this year, you're going to be drawing from the well of your eternal life. And from your joy, your peace, your strength, the wisdom of God. All these things will be working in your life. And you want to make that commitment unto God. Now, and then let me jump forward and show you verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord has a plan for you. He knows the way of the plan He has for you. So, as you're staying out of certain situations, as you're growing in your walk with Jesus, the Lord is revealing to you step by step His plan, His way for your life. Now, that's a beautiful way to live. In verse 1, though, I want you to look at the three people described. There are people that are going to live this year ungodly, sinners, scornful. Now, you know what scornful means in the Hebrew? It means mockers or deriders. They are scorners. They tear things down. There's two kind of people. Coach Sis says this. They either bring energy into the locker room or they suck it out. There are people that build things up, and there are people that tear things down. I've got to be around encouragers. I've got to be around positive people who love Jesus. I praise God I don't have to go to an office building or a factory building where folks cuss. They're looking for the next carnal experience. They live shallow, empty lives. I want to praise God for that. Now, if you're in that situation, God can use you. You just stay strong in the Lord. But notice what it says. It says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Chaff means emptiness and vanity. There are people that are living in the will of God. It's just two extremes here. One, to be living in the will of God, experiencing the prosperity and the fullness of your eternal life. The other one is chaff, emptiness, vanity, no direction, narcissistic, selfish. They're characterized by emptiness, shallowness, worldliness, vanity. They are deceivers, they are stealers, they are robbers, they are living a life of chaff. I read this out of the Zadiety. So I want you to understand, there are folks that are out there living life like that, and the great majority of folks are out there living life like that. and their appetites are what fuels them. Paul said they have enlarged their appetite. Their God is their stomach. Whatever their carnal desire is. You don't want to be involved in that kind of life. And look at what he says, verse 6. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, I want to close out today, and we're going to do part 2 next week because we got a ton of stuff. But Moses shared these insights concerning the promised land 2 months before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan. So I want to take you forward in time 2 months. When the children of Israel are just about to cross the Jordan, and I want you to see what God tells Joshua to say. So go with me to Joshua chapter 3. The promised land equates to the will of God for our lives. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says this. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there, right on the other side of the river, before they passed over into the promised land. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host of the company. Now, I didn't share with you a verse out of Deuteronomy, but God tells the children of Israel, he says, I blessed you during your time in Egypt. He said, when you came to Egypt, there was 70 plus 10 of you. So that's 70 in Jacob's family when Joseph got him into Egypt during the famine. Most commentators believe that when the nation of Israel got ready to cross the Jordan, there was at least 2.5 million and up to 4 million. So it's possible they're telling 4 million people we're about to cross Jordan into the promised land. Now notice what he says. Came to pass after 3 days, they went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, that's the presence of God, then you shall remove from your place and follow after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Now, the first rank in the rank and file of the 2.5 to 4 million Israelites were to stay 2,000 cubits behind the presence of God. 2,000 cubits equates to 0.57 miles. So there was a space of 0.6 miles between the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, and the first people that were following. Now, why was that important? You are not to come near unto it, so that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So you say, Brother Leo, what's the object lesson here? Well, it's obvious, but I'll go ahead and share it. The year 2022, you have not passed this way before. So it's real important you keep God out in front. And you don't get ahead of God in making decisions or making choices. You want Him a half a mile ahead of you. And you want to see Him, Apollos, so that you know He's over here, that's the way I need to go. Or He's over here, that's the way I need to go. You don't want to be in front of Him And you don't want to be going forward if you don't see him. So the scripture says that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. In 2022, this is an unknown way for us, but guess what? Not for him. It's an unknown way for us, but not for him. Who knows the end from the beginning? Tim, that's Isaiah 46:10. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the plan that he has for you. Plans of peace, prosperity, and blessing to give you an expected and planned out way. Patty, what's that? Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't know the way, but he knows the way. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the plans that he has for you. Plans of peace, prosperity, and blessing to give you an expected and planned out end. Is that not wonderful? His eye is on 2022 from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year, and we want to make sure he's the one out front leading us. And then you plug Romans 8:28 into that. He's working out all things for your good, even when you can't see what he's doing. If you're in God's will. Now, you can't get out of God's will. Say, oh, he's working this out for my good. No, you're making bad decisions. You're making bad choices. And you're probably going to deal with the results and the consequences of it. Now, you can repent and you can turn back to God and he'll bless you and he'll receive you with open arms. But next week, I'm going to show you how absurd it is when we don't put ourselves in a position where God can bless us. And it's simple. But I want to live 2022 in God's will in a position where God can bless me. And so notice what he says. Don't come near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Go with me to Proverbs 3, and I've got two more, and then I'm going to close out. I want God leading me. I want God out front in 2024. I want him leading me through the promised land of his will. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says this. This is a great prayer. I'm going to trust more in the Lord this year with more of my heart, and I'm not going to lean so much on my own understanding or my own way of doing things. In all my ways this year, I'm going to acknowledge his authority and seek his leadership. And only then will he direct and guide your path. He can't guide our path when we're going our own way. He can't guide our path when we're in rebellion against him. He can't guide our path when we're forcing a square peg into a round hole. And so many children of God try to do that. Can you imagine being saved and living your whole life in Egypt? In bondage? As a slave? How many Christians do you know live like that? I know tons. And then I know a ton of people that don't know Jesus, and they live like that. And it's tragic. It is a tragedy. Now, notice what he says. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear, worship, respect, and reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. That's Psalm 1, verse 1. There are certain things coming up this year that you just need to stay away from. In verse 8, it shall be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all that he blesses you with. Honor Him with everything He blesses you with so that He can continue blessing you, so that your barns will be full. You say, Brother Leo, what do you mean by that? I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing to put forth effort to go out there and try to find people we can help. I told Patty yesterday, I told her coming in, I said, I still need to financially help some of these people with the floods and with the tornadoes. And I said, this week we're going to nail some things down and we're going to get out there and we're going to help some of these people. It's just been hectic, you know, for us since all this stuff started happening. But I don't want to forget, because God put on my heart. And you know what? I got up praying this morning. I got up thanking God none of our houses got hit by tornadoes last night. So what am I going to do, Apollos? I need to help the people whose houses did get hit by tornadoes. Honor the Lord with all He's blessed you with. You know, as a testimony that God's protected our home or our farm or our place, I'm going to go help somebody whose barn got blown to smithereens last night. And make that commitment. And then notice what He says. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. But you know what I love about this? And this is my prayer for you in 2022. As you trust the Lord with all your heart and follow Him, look at verse 4. You will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I pray that for Daniel and Kylie Monday through Friday, because they're working. And I say, Lord, in their jobs, I pray You give them wisdom and that they find favor with You and with man this day. That You would find, and you know who I think about when I read that verse? I think about Joseph. Joseph was in Egypt, in a pagan culture, and he was made second in command over the whole kingdom. He found favor with God and man. By obeying God, he got blessed with man. And you know who I think about? I think about Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon in a pagan culture, and he got put second in command because he was obedient and was loyal unto God. He found favor with God and man. Is that not phenomenal? And if we live a life honoring God, we'll find favor with God and man. And God will bless us. Proverbs 3. 4 through 10 is a great New Year's passage. Now let me show you one more and we're going to close out with a prayer. 2 Corinthians 5. I either read this in the Tozer or in Jesus Listening. I think I read this in the devotional Jesus Listening. I want to thank all our wonderful church members who give me wonderful books over the years, and I'm reading 4 or 5 of them right now. I got for this last Christmas. And this is a great prayer, and this was in the devotional. The Lord's eyes are on the year from the beginning to the end. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says there this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are becoming new. Now here's the prayer for 2022. You know, we just spoke about all those spiritual blessings. God has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can you pray this prayer? Can you pray this? Lord Jesus, in 2022, I want You to work some newness into my life. You say, Brother Leo, what do you mean by that? I want You to work some newness into my life. some new spiritual blessings, some new understanding. I want to possess and experience something in a spiritual sense that I've never possessed and experienced before. I praise God. When we get saved, we start growing. But sometimes we plateau. And we have not because we ask not. Lord, I want a new area of growth in my life in the coming year. I want some newness. I want some bitterness replaced with some forgiveness. I want some anxiety in a certain area replaced with peace and confidence in you. I want some confusion in a certain area replaced with understanding and direction. Lord, work some newness into my life. Is that not a phenomenal prayer? I read that, I think, in the devotional Jesus Listening. I'd be more specific, but I'm reading 5 devotionals right now. And I don't just read for the day. I'll read a month at one sitting. But praise God for His Word. And praise God for anointed people that can share His Word with us in beautiful books. Lord, bring some newness in my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a few moments and join me in that prayer. Lord Jesus, would you please work, as Paul said, everything can become new. Father, would you show me an area in my life today where you desire to work some newness, where you desire to work some understanding and direction where there's confusion, where you desire to work some peace and confidence, godly confidence where there's anxiety, where you desire to work some joy where there's been sorrow. Father, where you desire to work some steadfastness where I've been compromising. Lord, give me the courage to not compromise you and your ways. And give me the peace to stand for you so that I can watch you work. Father, that you would work some newness into my life. Father, where you could work some of your agape love where there is indifference and selfishness. Father, we thank you for 2022. We begin this year saying, Lord Jesus, could this be the year you come back and get us all? Come quickly, Lord. But Father, before you come, may we be found faithful. Father, show us and help us to receive all the blessing, all the benefit, all the spiritual blessings that you have for us in this coming year. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love of Jesus that you give us. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the encouragement and joy we can have by building each other up and edifying in the coming year. Lord, we need you and we need each other. We thank you for this day, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.